Radio.
It's the Connor Happer Show with Connor Happer and Josh Otzen. Let's get ready to rumble.
Licensing of the phrase, let's get ready to rumble, just over the last 7+ years internationally is grossed approximately close to $400 million in retail sales.
Really?
You guys look like, what do they look like, Jimmy?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
On 1620, The Zone.
All right, welcome in. Happy Wednesday. It is the Connor Happer Show here on 1620 The Zone and 1620thezone.com. Big Ten tournament came to Nebraska, came to Omaha. Nebraska isn't in it, and it's raining and 52 degrees. Well, the Big Ten tournament was going to come here anyway, but a bit of a rude awakening. Suppose this morning going to be a struggle to get all those games in. The rest of the week they'll find a way somehow, but there will be a lot of baseball being played at TD Ameritrade. Oh, Charles Schwab Field.
Oh, look at you,
Charles Schwab Field.
Messed it up, you dub dub.
Josh Otzen with you. Hello, Josh.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Birthday boy.
It's my birthday. It's true. It's true. But we're not going to make a big deal about it. Josh got me popcorn, which is really, really nice.
I did. I know like three things about you, and one of them is that you enjoy popcorn.
You start with the little stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you advance on from there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have our, since your birthday is Sunday, we'll have a joint birthday celebration where who knows what could happen on Friday. There'll be... people walking around in costumes. There will be maybe those same people just popping in randomly at some point during the show. Who knows?
I've been told a lot of possible things.
I know.
I expect none of them to happen.
Yeah. Is it real? But, who knows?
Yeah. But also, if any of them happen, it might be a wild show Friday.
It is the it'll be the Connor Happer Show, all of it, featuring Josh, celebration on Friday. But yes, thank you. It is my birthday. I can't recall too many birthdays where it's been 52 degrees and rainy. Usually get a pretty nice day on a day like today.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Hopefully it's not a sign of what is to come in my 30s. So I'm 30 years old.
That's a big one. It's a big round number.
By the way, is that what you would you have guessed that? Now you've known my age for a while. But you look at me, you know, if you're watching me on the stream right now, you look at me and you're like, what birthday is it for this guy? I don't know, 34? I don't know, 26?
I don't say this to be rude. I would have guessed older.
Now, that used to be a really good thing. You always wanted to look older.
Yeah.
As a younger person. I don't know if it's such a good thing anymore.
At a certain point, yeah, you want that to stop. You would like it to, you'd like to look youthful.
Yeah, it's probably not the best thing in the world. But that's okay. That's all right. I am what I am, and I look the way I look.
Mm-hmm.
We're accepting some things. We're watching the Big 12 baseball tournament taking place at a... This is maybe a take. We were talking about stadiums and turf setups or grass setups a little bit earlier. Conferences that choose to put their baseball tournaments at major league fields always sounds like a really good idea, never is executed quite well. Why? Because they're not going to fill up a 40,000-seat stadium.
Yeah,
more.
They open the whole stadium when they should really only open the lower deck.
Yeah.
And cram as many people as they can into a... one bowl.
But for a place like for a conference like the Big Ten, for example, that has played a couple times in Minneapolis at Target Field, that's a 40,000-plus seat stadium that is getting, throughout the week, if you add up all the games, 7,000 to 10,000 people there, depending who's in it, like on the weekend, right? And for the Big 12, hey, you got Texas and Oklahoma State right now. Those are two fan bases that, especially Texas, certainly travels pretty well. They haven't shown any full stadium shots yet. I mean, it's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. I can't imagine that stadium is, the Big 12 tournament will host more than like 40,000 fans all week combined, spread out over 5 days.
It is 10:22, and they are through five innings.
Correct.
In that game. What, it start at 9?
What time did they start? Great point.
9 or 9:30?
Must have been 9, and the Big Ten tournament was supposed to start at 9 today.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Get four baseball games in a day, and notoriously, college baseball games last a very, very long time.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
It's weird. Okay. Yeah. It's weird. Mm. They don't have a pitch clock or anything like that, so they just kind of go however long they want. All right, so plenty to come on the show today. We'll have our normal guest, Chris Basnett, the Lincoln Journal Star, will join us at 11:30. The tweet bag will open up today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So send us your tweets at Happer Show, at Connor Happer, at producer_Josh. And remember, there's about 7,000 different ways to get in touch with the show now. You could text in, you could call in, you can email in to the Equitable Bank inbox, as always, as well. We accept all forms of communication on the tweet bag, which is coming up at noon today. So we'll dive in, we'll reach in, we'll see what we could pull out of there at noon. And at 11, we'll have Scott Docterman of The Athletic. Tomorrow, the Big Ten is set to announce several game times for its upcoming season. Networks for its upcoming season.
CBS did this morning.
There you go. They jumped ahead of the Big Ten.
They did. They got Penn State Auburn. That's the one that affects us the most here in Big Ten land.
There seems to be some open curiosity about the network that will host Nebraska, Oklahoma. I figured
it's not Fox, Big Noon.
I figured that's gonna be dead set for Fox, Big Noon. But there seems to be some rumblings that maybe that's not such a sure thing. Interesting. So we'll have that. And then will we get an announcement? Will they just roll all this out at once and say, oh yeah, by the way, the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East are dead and we are moving forth with no divisions in the Big Ten. Will they do that tomorrow? Other conferences have jumped right on board on that. So we'll talk about that with Scott Docterman here in just a little bit at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talk more transfer portal. I went through, why don't we just do this now? As we're, getting through, we'll have the wheel of meat today. Yeah. By the way, don't forget Union Omaha has a chance to, they're on the big stage tonight, mm-hmm. playing another MLS team up in Minnesota and with a chance to advance to the round of 8 in the U.S. Open Cup, something that teams of their ilk, the USL League One, they don't do really ever or very often. So Union Omaha on the big stage tonight. So we'll get through a whole bunch of different things as we get through the day. I will vent about the Royals at some point as Vinny Pasquantino has hit another home run this morning for your beloved Omaha Storm Chasers.
Yeah, they're up 3-0 already in a 10:05 start time out in Louisville.
Yeah, not really common for professional baseball players, but all right. Maybe it's kids' day at the ballpark in Louisville. Creighton gets good news as Baylor Shireman is officially headed to Creighton. But let's go through this. So we've done a lot of analysis over the last few days of Nebraska's additions in the transfer portal. 15 guys. Maybe they're done. Maybe they're not. It's unlikely that you're probably going to add another player by now unless it's a reaction to, or something falls in their lap. So you never say never, but it feels like transfer portal season has kind of wrapped up. You're starting summer school. They got to be here by a certain point anyway. So I mentioned the other day how this whole thing is sort of a crapshoot with Nebraska football, and there's no doubt about it. It is. And here's the reason why. I mentioned Nebraska's history with transfers. Now, this is just their history, and you could look at all of it combined, however you'd like to do it. So by my math, and you guys have to tell me if I missed any names here. I think I collected all of the transfers that they've taken, like the scholarship transfers that they've taken over the last couple of years. since Scott Frost has been here. I think I got everybody. And when you total that all those players up, coincidentally, the number is 15. 15 guys. So can we use this as sort of an example of, all right, this is kind of your hit rate, and you could depend on these guys working out, and then you could depend on the other percentage of them, you know, to not. Maybe it changes by a couple. Maybe that was, you know, an interesting crop one year or the other. Nebraska's adding 15 all at once, so they're going to have them all play at the same time. Like, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. So let's go through the names here real quick. As I pull it up. So Trey Neal, and I guess I, in response to this, I also have some questions for you guys too. So I basically am going to take the formula that that the guys from Unsportsmanlike Conduct take with this in the afternoon, like hits, misses, and guys. And although, you know, I think I understand what they're, what, you know, what you're kind of going for there.
Dudes is dudes a dudes? Category?
Guys is dudes, okay. I think, probably. Okay. Just a dude.
I didn't know if those were different levels.
Just a guy.
Okay. Just want to understand hits, the grading system.
Dudes slash guys, whatever you want to. So I need your, and this is actually be a good time for you guys to utilize the text line, because I need some quick thoughts on this at 402-951-1620. So Trey Neal, grad transfer for just that 2018 year from UCF. I would call that a hit. He started for Nebraska. He was a pretty good player. I don't think he did anything special. But basically, if you start over an entire season, I'm gonna call that worth it. Not necessarily, regardless of the play that happens afterwards, but I'm going to call Trey Neal a hit. There's a few question marks that I honestly don't know where to put him either. How about kind of Ainoa, the transfer, grad transfer wide receiver from Cal? So is he a hit? Is he a miss? I think based on expectations of what we thought about him coming in, it's a miss. With that being said, he was relatively productive. Let's go to his stats here from his time at Nebraska, just so I could. So he had 17 catches for 245 yards in that 2019 season, two touchdowns. So not terribly productive, but he was on the field for the majority of the time. For Nebraska, he played in 8 games that year. I don't know. Maybe you'd call that a miss. Or he's kind of in this gray area category, this question mark category. Breon Dixon, definitely a miss. I mean, there's guys we can go down this list of the definite misses. Why don't we just do it categorically like that? Breon Dixon, Jakeem Green, Jordan Riley. Still some time left for a couple of these guys. Tyreek Johnson, Marquise Stepp. I think all those guys are miss. I think all those guys are misses. I think we have some sure hits. Samari Toure. Darian Daniels. I think Travis Vokolek, I would put him in that category. Maybe lacks the production a little bit. And then there's a couple guys in interesting categories where Nebraska took them as walk-ons, and then they ended up being starters or productive players for them. Those would be Nori Nwuneli, and Oliver Martin, both of which go into that, like I said, interesting category of, yeah, you took him as sort of a lottery ticket and it worked out. So I guess I would call that a hit. Some of this is based on expectations. There is guys like Chris Kolarovic, Levi Falk, kind of Ainoa, like I said, who are all kind of in this gray zone. There is also Connor Culp. What do we do with Connor Culp? How did the Connor Culp thing work out? He was the Big Ten kicker of the year in 2020, and then he was pretty much immediately benched in 2021 and led to, you know, a lot of Nebraska's kind of struggles, special teams struggles in a season where they desperately needed a little bit of help there. So, if you get the point here, it's a bit of a grab bag. Like I said yesterday, it's a really big lottery ticket. Can we use these figures as examples of or some sort of an expectation level for what Nebraska is going to get out of their pile of transfers that they just took? Like I said, I just named 15 guys. I could tell you with certainty that Samari Toure is a hit and that Darian Daniels is a hit. And then Nori Nwuneli and probably Travis Vokolek. Outside of that, there's questions with the rest of them. If Nebraska, do you think it's a fair expectation to say that four of those guys, four of the guys that they've taken in this year's class will be hits? Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, Kevin Williams, Hunter Anthony, Tommy Hill, Bleak Road, Buscini, Palmer, Thompson, Purdy, Mathis, Brown, Drew, Wynn, Williams, and Washington. Are there four hits in there? And then we go to this question, are the four hits enough? Is that enough to win you 6, 7, 8 football games? That's basically the math on this thing. I was looking back. I was looking back to what Michigan State did, because they're sort of the template here. Although there is a key difference, and the key difference is that Mel Tucker was doing that after the COVID year, which was his first year, and his second year he's really aggressive. And I read the story just this morning. That was written at the time, or I guess it was late last fall, and he was kind of going on the victory lap or whatever because Michigan State had a good season last year, and he's basically like, yeah, I learned all this, how to manage rosters and how to manage people from the NFL side of things. To a certain extent, you need luck. The one guy that they pinpointed that they thought was going to be a really big deal for them and was one of the bigger gets that they got, ended up being huge, was Kenneth Walker. Does Nebraska have a Kenneth Walker in this class? I asked somebody who joined the show yesterday, I can't remember who it was, but Nebraska, do they have a guy who can be a stud in this class? And who would be the most likely to do that? Would you go to, I think I asked Mitch this, would you go straight to Casey Thompson? Would you go to O'Shawn Mathis? Would you go to Trey Palmer? It doesn't have to be running back production. You don't have to go for 1,000 yards on the ground just like Kenneth Walker did, but that's the comparison. So if Nebraska could get four guys out of that group who are certainly good players and one of them who is a stud, how will that factor into the math equation of Nebraska winning 6, 7, 8 games next year? That's basically the answer that I'm trying to find. So I want to hear from you guys. 402-951-1620. You could tweet at Happer Show. You could tweet at Connor Happer as well on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. By the way, the show lineup today powered by the Roof Freeze and John Higgins Weather Guard. Jamie tweets in. He says, let's be careful with this. Sometimes it's Nebraska. Gotta be careful. Sometimes it's Nebraska fans. We hype people that they can't even come close to living up to. Jamie, totally. I 100% agree with you there. But here is the issue. Like, I'm not saying that any one of these guys is going to be that guy, but the issue is that they need a handful to be solid. They need a handful to be good. They need a handful to be hits along the lines of Darian Daniels, Samari Toure. If you want to put Travis Vokolek in that equation, you could put Nori Nwuneli in there too. Like because of what I said the other day, out of this group, most of them are going to be dependent on to be starters or two deep guys. So they need a few to stand out.
Brian texts in, hits need more than four. Hell, we need both kickers to be a hit. So there's two right there.
Definitely. Need the kicker and the punter to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I'm just saying, based off of what they have gotten so far out of the transfer portal. And like I said, different situations. It's not, it doesn't have to be linear like this. Just because there was four out of the first 15 doesn't mean there's going to be four out of this 15. Maybe you can go up to half. Maybe you could say seven or eight of them are going to be hits. Is that enough?
I'd feel really good if half of those guys hit.
Okay.
Just because.
So let's say the kicker and the punter, Bleakrode and Buscini, Casey Thompson, O'Shawn Mathis, one of the defensive linemen, say it's Drew or Wynn. One or two of the, like a receiver and a half out of Garcia Castaneda, Trey Palmer, and Marcus Washington. And then a defensive back, whether it's Hill or Brown. And then keep in mind, you added Deshaun Singleton in the out of the JUCO ranks as well, or Kane Williams.
I mean, it's not going to necessarily translate into 8, 9, 10 wins. I would just be happy that the coaching staff got that part of it right.
But the point is, you have to meet some sort of baseline level. Like, you have to have these guys be hits in order to have success this year.
Absolutely.
And what they, and I'm just using the comparison of the guys that they've gotten before and what the quote unquote hit rate level is on those guys. And the point here is it's lower than you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that all feeds into the statement that I said the other day, which is, this is the greatest gamble in Nebraska football history. And it is. You're asking a lot of guys that you just don't know about. Brennan tweets in at Happer Show on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. He says the last transfer stud was probably Randy Gregory. Seems this isn't something we've ever done, so can't compare to previous transfers. This is definitely not, I mean, Nebraska's never had a transfer portal overhaul like this. Are we counting Randy as a transfer guy? He's a junior college guy. If we're throwing all the junior college guys in there too, that's basically, I mean, that's a good chunk of Nebraska's roster at this point. If we're counting the transfer portal guys, or I'm sorry, the junior college guys. Now here's a good one from Dan, who tweets in at Happer Show. Now what if 6 to 8 hit? And none of them are the quarterback. See, now that's a whole nother spinoff to this conversation in and of itself. Because I almost keep the quarterback separate. Because I think so much of what the quarterback does is going to be based off of how much they have their bleep together on offense from an offensive organization standpoint, right? So this includes, this is where Frost and Whipple and Donovan Raiola and Brian Applewhite, like, this is where that whole thing comes into play. So I almost keep that separate a little bit, to where I don't want to say, well, that could be a hit or a miss or a guy or, you know, however you want to categorize it. Like, I think, for example, if 6 to 8 hit and Casey Thompson is just okay, there's still a scenario where Nebraska is a good team next year. Now, on the other hand, if Casey Thompson's really, really good and they get hits around him, he could elevate. If Casey Thompson's really poor, you know, he pulls the rest of them down as well. So just based off, once again, these are the guys that Nebraska's got in the transfer portal that I would consider that were hits so far. There's been, by my count, 15 of them. If I'm missing anybody, let me know. But Samari Toure is the obvious one. Like, if you can get a couple of these guys to be Samari Toure's, then yeah, you're cooking. Darian Daniels is probably your second best transfer portal hit at this point. And then some mix of Travis Vokolek, who I think plays a big role on this team without the sort of production side of it. You know, and then you go down to guys like Nuri Nwili and Oliver Martin, Both those guys came in as walk-ons. Trey Neal was okay. Kind of Ainoa, like I said, fell short of expectations. But then you have your for sure misses as well. That's the other side of this, too. We're talking about guys who could be good out of this group. There's going to be probably at least four or five that you just never hear from. So your Jakeem Green, your Jordan Riley, your Tyreek Johnson, your Marquise Stepp. And not to, you know, there's still a chance for guys like Stepp and Johnson. But there's probably going to be four or so in that group that you just maybe never hear from. So that's cutting down your odds. Maybe it's Hunter Anthony on the offensive line. Or maybe, to a tweeter's point, maybe the situation is so unique that, you know, you're going to, all these guys are going to get some sort of opportunity to play, and we have to hold it sort of to a different standard than what it has been over the last 4 years. But what I'm saying is the numbers got to work in your favor. And it's a gamble. It's a tough ask. All right. Like I said, 402-951-1620. You could call, tweet, text into the show. We're off and running on Wednesday. Coming up here in just a little bit, Scott Docterman. We'll talk Big Ten with him. Chris Bazin after that. Tweet bag is open for your tweets. Drop one in at Happer Show. We'll jump into that at noon. We'll also be spinning the wheel of meat yet again today, Josh. The game that's sweeping the nation.
It is taking over. It is one of the most successful things in entertainment history. The wheel of meat.
Not to oversell it or anything. Yes.
No. I mean, it's just people are saying.
A griddle today? Is it griddle day?
It is griddle Wednesday.
Yes, thank you. Griddle Wednesday. I'll be venting about the Royals at some point during this show.
I'm excited for that.
Today's an off day. Why has no one been fired?
If we're going to do it, today seems like a good day.
Yeah, you're out on the road. I mean, they don't usually.
Yeah.
You got to wait till they come back home and then have some sort of, I don't know. I'm not usually a let's fire some people guy. Trust me. I'm usually very conservative with that stuff, but something's got to change over there. Just
June 2nd, there's an off day before a 10-game homestand.
I got to wait a whole other week?
I'm sorry, 9. No, 10-game homestand, yes.
I wait a whole other week?
Yeah. If we're going by your strategery of firing.
Hey, by the way, so they did something that they do. I'm going to get sidetracked on this. So every year for the last 18 seasons, except for two seasons, that would be the years when they won the pennant, 14 and 15, they have had a 6-game losing streak in their first 50 games. At least one, and at least a losing streak of 6 in their first 50 games. It took them 42 games to accomplish that. They did it so last night in Arizona by blowing a lead.
So they'll tell you pretty quick who they are.
Yep.
That's what you're saying.
And you're waiting for that shoe to drop in 14 and 15, and it just never happened. And guess what? They went to the World Series and won one World Series.
People forget.
Took them 42 games. So Rani Jazierli, who has talked Royals for a long time. If you're a Royals fan, I'd follow his tweets. He says this: statistically speaking, the odds that a 500 team will lose 6 games in a row within the first 60 games of a season is about 35.5%. The Royals have done it in 17 of the past 19 years. That is above 35.5%, Josh.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
But the good news, however, is every year they don't do that. They win the pennant.
Yeah, I guess that's a positive way to spin it. Sure.
The odds So he broke this whole thing down too. The odds that a 500 team will endure a 6-game losing streak by, and then there's a certain number of games. So game 14, the average number is 7.5%. The Royals have had a 6-game losing streak or more by game 14 in 7 of the last 19 years. So they're trending way above average as far as losing and losing early. But like I said, I should be used to this by now. They lose big, they lose early, and then in September, when nobody else really cares anymore because playoff spots have been decided, the Royals decide, let's rip off 15 wins this month. And then we get excited for the next season. I'll take the Royals over, and then I will be cut off at the knees by April 30th. It's really a beautiful thing.
The cycle continues.
It really does. It's great. One more question on the transfers thing here from Twitter. I might need a minute to sit on this. This is a good question, though. Justin tweets into the show. He says, other than Casey Thompson, who do you think out of all the transfer guys needs to be the biggest hit in order for Nebraska to succeed? Out of the portal guys that they've taken this year, who does Nebraska need the most?
That's an excellent question.
A couple guys come to mind first. We can answer that a little bit later on in the show. All right. Like I said, I want to hear from you guys. We'll come back, round out the hour before we are joined by Scott Docterman next here on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.